So, Eric, you know you're one of my favorite people.
Sure.
Tausch makes fun of me for having a lot of favorite people, but now I get to interact with two of my favorite people simultaneously. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour, do we usually do guests to start an hour, Jesse?
Only when Tausch sets them up, really.
So what happened in this case?
Well, what happened is Sophia usually joins us on Tuesday, and okay. Tuesday was a little tough this week.
A few stories going on, yeah.
And so then I forgot to text Sophia back yesterday, and then I texted her kind of late this morning. I was like, well, 10 a.m. would work, so that's how we got to 10 a.m.
Wow. No, I'm not okay with the way Sophia was booked. I'm not okay with that at all.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know the story behind it before I asked.
It reflects poorly on the show.
It reflects poorly on Jesse, for sure, and that made it all worthwhile. Let us welcome in one of our favorite humans. You can see her on Bally Sports Wisconsin and with the Milwaukee Brewers. She will not be traded at the trade deadline. I feel very confident saying that. It is our friend Sophia Minert on Wilde and Tausch. Sophia, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I think I'm like everybody else. I'm counting down to 3 o'clock when the trade deadline is over.
So
we'll see what happens.
These trade deadline days with you are difficult for us because I don't know if you hear rumblings, but you're a Brewers employee, so I don't foresee you telling us, oh, yeah, they're working on this.
I mean, you can if you want. We're not going to stop you.
That's true. We won't.
Right.
But
I would also like to be working the game tonight.
Yes, and we would like you to. That, quite frankly, if you start giving away trade secrets, you will be traded after I just said you wouldn't be. So, yeah, we don't want that at all. Let's talk in general terms, though, and start with, because look, your team has made some pretty significant moves during the season, including one to add an all-star first baseman as well. What do you think is going to happen moving forward here with the trade deadline approaching?
Yeah, I mean, we're like, you know, just under 5 hours away. So this is when things really pick up steam, obviously. When you're up against the clock. And I do think, you know, I feel like I have, you know, I have no, like, inside information to back this up, but I just think David Stearns and Matt Arnold and the rest of the front office, they pursue every opportunity to add to the team. You know, I think they've been active going back to the start of the season, right? Trading away Orlando Arcia, even the timing of the Willy Adames trade coming at the end of May. They've already made a move, as you said, acquiring Eduardo Escobar, which I think is going to be really impactful. He's expected to join the team today in Atlanta. You know, David Stearns, when we spoke to him after that acquisition, you know, what he says is that this is kind of a unique year because in the past there would be a kind of second deadline, a waiver deadline at the end of August. So even though you couldn't do trades, you could kind of make these transactions on the waiver wires. That's gone away. So this is really kind of your last opportunity to add to your team. And so it does change the decision-making a little bit for general managers. So I think, you know, when he spoke to us, it was about, he used the word redundancies, you know, redundancies across the field of, knowing that this is your last opportunity, you want as much depth as possible. He said, we are trying to plan for the unexpected. Certainly that depth has been tested this year with the number of players that they have used. I think it's up to 53 now. And so they want depth. They want versatility. They want options. They want coverage for injuries and anything that can happen here over the final 2 months. So that's, again, I think if you're looking at areas of where they're going to add, they're always looking at pitching, you know, especially in the bullpen. That's an area where I think you feel like you never have enough arms.
Sophia, can you tell me more about Eduardo Escobar? I
I feel like, you know, I've been in a bit of a haze for the last couple months.
Why?
Gee, I wonder why, Eric.
No idea. It's just been, you know, I haven't been able to keep as close of an eye on the Brewers as I might like. I believe that's a utility infielder. I believe he can be used mm-hmm. all over the field. How does that kind of play into the importance of what he can do in Milwaukee? And then also, he was an all-star, so that would suggest to me he's pretty stinking good.
Yeah, he is. He is pretty good. You know, he has had a really nice career, starting with the White Sox, then with the Twins. He has spent the last 3 years with Arizona. He signed a 3-year deal with them when he was traded from the Twins, and so he's going to be a free agent after this year. But it feels like a kind of peak David Stearns move in that it addresses all of the things that they like, right? He's a switch hitter. He's a versatile infielder. He's primarily played third base. He has played second base. He can play shortstop. He has never played first base, but they've already had a conversation with him. And by all accounts, he says he's up for it of trying first base. And so I think that, again, just gives them more options of, you know, first base is one of the spots that they have looked for consistent production. And one of the previous trades that they have made with the Toronto Blue Jays and Rowdy Tellez, it's only been 2 weeks for him with this team, but he's been really impactful and he's given them some great power, you know, a lefty bat, and he's been really productive in that spot for them. And I think Eduardo Escobar now is just another option as a switch hitter. And I think as we really get down the stretch in August and September, it also gives you more flexibility if Colton Wong needs a day off. You know, Wong's been on the IL 3 times. You hope he can be healthy here down the stretch. Willy Adames has played in every game but one since he was acquired on May 22nd, if he needs some days off. Same with Luis Urias. I think, you know, Luis Urias and Escobar become really complementary pieces in that they become the guys that can move around defensively and give you great options off of the bench as well. And so, you know, when we talked to Craig Counsell yesterday about it, even he is still kind of thinking through the Tetris puzzle, right, of how you can put these lineups together every day. But this is what David Stearns was talking about in the redundancies, is like good playoff contending teams have tough lineup decisions to make every day. And that's what David Stearns is trying to give Craig, you know, every day is give him tough choices to make. And I just think everything we've heard about Eduardo Escobar off the field as well, it's off the charts, you know, character, personality, leadership in the clubhouse. He loves Fogo de Chao. It's turned into this whole Fogo power when he was with the Minnesota Twins. So it seems like he's going to be a great fit. And again, he'll join the team in Atlanta today.
I think for the first time in my life, Sophia, starting pitching is not like a problem in Milwaukee. Typically, we're stressing out on these shows about, oh, could you add an arm at the deadline? And to me, maybe it's more of the bullpen this year. Obviously, you gave up 2 arms to get Adames in the middle of the year. So what does the bullpen kind of look like right now? I know there's been some questions about Josh Hader and his usage as of late as well. So what is the bullpen looking like, and why might that be a spot where they'd be looking to add an arm today?
Well, I think, you know, for as much as you have your anchors at the front, right, with your workhorses and the starting rotation, I think they're just as confident in what they have in the back end. You know, obviously starting with Josh Hader and Devin Williams and Brad Boxberger, those are like your 3 locks. And Brent Suter, I would include Brent Suter in that group as well. They've really been kind of the core four that have been in the bullpen, been consistent since opening day, right? And the bullpen usually is the most tumultuous part of your team. There's just inevitably a lot of turnover, injuries, roster moves, etc. The Brewers have gone through all of those. I would say, though, you're always looking for more, right? You're always looking for another high leverage guy. You're looking for another guy. I think they feel pretty well balanced in terms of their lefty and righty mix with what they have right now. But I think you're always looking for somebody like, you know, like a Brad Boxberger, who came over as a minor league invite, but has closing experience and has been extremely durable and valuable to Craig Counsell and that bullpen. So it may not be like a big name, you know, in the past, when you look at the additions that they've made at the trade deadline, is almost always in the bullpen. They may not always be like the big names, but they can provide really valuable innings down the stretch. And again, it's about having depth and options, it's about having balance. They love guys with options for that reason, to have that depth. So those are the kinds of moves that we've typically seen from David Stearns at the deadline. But I will say, like, you know, the relievers that have really stepped up have been, you know, Hunter Strickland, again, a midseason acquisition. Chase Cousins, who has come out of Indy ball and been lights out. Miguel Sanchez, you know, he's been tremendous for them as well. So I think they feel good about the group overall. They've been productive, but you're always looking to add more.
If you're wondering why we have Sophia Minard on this show, it's not just because she's one of our favorite humans. It's not because she has a wealth of knowledge about so many different topics, including the Brewers. It is because I read one story and I call Eduardo Escobar a first baseman because I read that they were planning on trying him there. I did get right that he was an all-star. And Eric Name asks about Escobar by saying, I saw he's a former All-Star, so I guess he's pretty stinking good. So that's the sum total of the insight you get here from us. That's why we have Sophia to help us through. Sophia, I do know that the combined score of the sweep of the Pirates was 28-3. I'm wondering how many times you have seen the team you cover be that dominant over a three-game stretch in just about every way possible, because I caught a little bit of each game, and it was, you know, you look at the box scores. I used to look at them in the newspaper every morning as a kid, but you look at the box scores on the internet now, and they really are like 12 runs, 16 hits, 0 runs, 3 hits. Like, that's dominating in every way possible.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, 28-3, that's a good Packers score, right? Like,
that's not a good score for the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl at halftime, though.
I mean, maybe a good harbinger for success heading to Atlanta. I don't know. Like, that could be a good number to head to Atlanta on.
That's true. That's true. We're manifesting good things to happen this weekend. But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, to have two shutouts in a three-game series is right. Everything you need to know about how dominating this pitching staff has been. And July has been their best month as a pitching staff. It's an earned run average just over 2. The opponent average is less than 200. I mean, they've been almost unhittable. And I think that's what you saw in the Pittsburgh series. And again, Craig Counsell talks about, like, how these things are all connected, right? And the one thing that the starting rotation, I think, has gone kind of under the radar is, like, they almost never have short starts, right? It's almost always a quality start. They're going 5, 6, 7 innings, sometimes into the 8th, right? And what that does for your bullpen in terms of lining up their usage, keeping guys fresh, keeping them healthy, favorable matchups, I mean, it's all related. And I think that's been sort of the under the radar part of why this pitching staff has been as good and as consistent as they have been, because it starts with the length that the starters are giving you at the front. They're giving up almost nothing, you know, when you look at what Freddie and Corbin and Brandon are doing, and Adrian Hauser, the team has won, I think, his last 8 or 9 starts now. Brett Anderson delivering quality starts. So, you know, they've been consistent as a group, and what that does for your bullpen is just invaluable. And then, you know, the bullpen, they're doing their jobs. They're putting up zeros regardless of the score. They're attacking. They're really not giving up anything. So to me, that's kind of the story. You know, it's been pitching all year. We've talked about it a lot, and now you're seeing the offense step up. July's been a really good month for them. The Pittsburgh series was great just to see. So much, you know, it was first inning offense, it was add-on runs, it was big innings, it was home runs by a handful of different guys. It was one of those series where it all clicked. And it was fun to watch. It was very fun to watch.
Sophia, I'm not feeling great about the booking process, but we're thrilled that you joined us nevertheless. Thanks for adjusting your schedule for Aaron Rodgers and for our show. And we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. You're the best. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.